4th of July, I remember growing up, we used to have a lot of gatherings and family members and great times together. And all I was looking forward to was, you know, the picnic and so forth, and all of that. But all the Sunday school, maybe dismissed at this time. They don't want to hear the old man. But I don't think, and probably those of you that's been in the military, remembering the day that you stood there and raised your right hand and took the oath to support this country, and to and I remembered that, and I said that. It's on. I'm on. I remember that, and I was telling my wife, I remember my two brothers and my brother-in-law that fought in World War II, and I had nephews, and that was in Korean War and Vietnam, and I look back over that, and I think of the dedication of individuals that would give us the freedom to be here this morning, to sit in this church and worship the Lord. Even though they had to go on foreign soil, so that didn't come over to our country. And now we're being invaded. And I'm going to say it like it is. We're being invaded from our borders. And, you know, I look at that and I say, God, help us. Help us. Because I just read where by a illegal immigrant. I don't know who they were, where they were from, what country, what. But there's a lot of them coming through the southern borders from different countries. Raped and killed a woman. And they knew they had him in custody at one time and released him. And that happened. Those things are happening all over our country. We need to be on our knees and praying and seeking the face of God. Because we're living in a time that we have perilous times, as it tells us in Timothy. People are hearing the word and not adhering to the word. The word of God does not mean anything to them. The immorality of our country and those that are in position of authority right from the top, and I'm not afraid to say it, our president right on down, right on down, Congress members that are just going wild and going against the Word of God. And I think it's time that what's happened in the church. I like one scripture this morning that's been on my heart all week long, and that's Luke 1:37. It says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." You know, nothing is impossible. Not one thing is impossible for God. How many of you know that tonight? Today? How many of you know that in your life, if you look back over your life, Tony, it was an impossibility for somebody to save you, wasn't it? But your wife's prayers, Tony comes to the Lord, and God changed his life. He did the same for me. He came and changed my life. Why? There's nothing impossible. When we think, well, that person is so far out in the world that there's nothing that God can do for them, they can't ever. God can work on that individual. Put that person in a spot where they don't want to be, and the only place they have to turn is to God. I think of the scriptures, and that was one of my verses that's been on my heart all week, for us to realize that there is nothing that we're going through, no difficulties, no what the government throws at us, no what happens to us, that there's nothing that God cannot bring us through it. And I believe He's going to do that. I believe that. I heard a sermon preached by John Kilpatrick. How many of you know who John Kilpatrick is? John Kilpatrick is the one that they had that big revival in Florida many years ago. And he said that God was showing him, woke him up in the middle of the morning and was showing him that he said, God was showing him, I'm going to protect. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be things coming, but I'm going to protect my children. And he said, I'm going to have a dome over them. I thought, praise the Lord, I want to have a dome over my house. And that dome is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If we just trust God. We'll go to Nehemiah, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 9. Tony, would you take us to the Lord in prayer?
Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that you can move for men who dare not even try. I thank you, Father God, for ministering to our heart this morning. I ask that it find good ground to be sown so a crop can take place. I just thank you right now, Lord God. Anoint our pastor. Lord God, strengthen him this morning. God, I speak to those lungs in the name of Jesus. You clear up and be whole. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The scripture there tells us now, before this, Eliashib, the priest over having authority over the storerooms of the house of God, was allied with Tobiah, who was a form of the world. And he had prepared for him a large room where previously they had stored the grain, offerings, the frankincense, and the articles of the tithes of the grain, and the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the gatekeepers, and the offerings for the priests. But during all this, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, had returned to the king. And then after certain days, I obtained leave from the king and came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that Eliashib, and I came to Jerusalem to discover the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods out of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and I brought it back into them, the articles of the house of God, with the grain offerings and the frankincense. I don't know whether you understand there, but Tobiah was given the privilege by the king and the high priest to go in and take over the room. He cleaned everything out that pertained to God and put his stuff in there. Put his stuff in there. And I tell you what, I think our nation needs a cleansing. I think we've got too much of the stuff in Washington, D.C. And excuse my terminology, but too much of the garbage that they got in there and trying to run this country. There needs to be a cleansing take place in our government. And not only that, but we're talking today, I believe God's dealing with the church, the body of Christ. I believe he's dealing with the body of Christ, because the body of Christ has got away from the things of God and the holiness of God. And we've got into the world. We've allowed Tobiah to come in. We've allowed Tobiah to come in. We've allowed the world to come into the church. And we did that to do what? To satisfy individuals. Are you hearing me? We wanted to satisfy this person or that person. So what do? We allowed things of the world to come in and say it's all right. There is churches out there right now that are so far away from God. I don't know whether they'll ever get back. But I do know one thing. There's nothing impossible for God. Amen. And he needs to talk. We need to be praying for God to talk to the pastors and the leadership of the churches of today. We need to be talking to God. And we need to be asking ourselves, you know, where am I at? What am I going through? This isn't a talking about the time of Nehemiah and Ezra coming back to restore Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And to also reestablished the temple and the spiritual side of the things with his people. Nehemiah's job was to rebuild the walls, and Ezra's position was that of spiritual calling. After being in captivity for many years, in Persian and Babylonian captivity, even then God had a plan to revive and restore his people. God moved upon the kingdoms, and as they started to release the Jews to go back. How many of you believe that God has a plan for our nation? Amen. I believe he does. I believe he has a plan. Amen. And we need to be prayed up and ready to do whatever God asks us to do. Jerusalem and not all the Jews returned. The main reason that all this occurred was that Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Allow me just to expound on a cupbearer. How many know what a cupbearer is? Cupbearer is one that literally, if I may put it this way, tasted the wine before the king had it. And if it was poison, he died. That's what Nehemiah was. He was a cupbearer. He was in a position, which is a great position to be, because it's a trust that's given to that person. And he was a cupbearer. And, in the court of the king of Persia. Do you see God in all of this? God places individuals in certain places to accomplish things to be done. You know, this was God working, placing Nehemiah in as a cupbearer to be there so that he could win what? Win the trust of the king. And by winning the trust of the king, he got the privilege to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. God gave him, put him in that position. God puts us in positions. Positions that may seem difficult. Positions that may seem hard. And we may be going through things. But God has placed us there. God has placed you here. I don't know whether you know it or not, but you're not in church this morning by chance. You're not in by your decision. Whether you realize it or not, the Holy Spirit has got you here this morning. Got every one of you here. Now, you may be sitting there saying, no, I'm here because I decided to come. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You're here because you decided to come because the Holy Spirit moved upon you and got you here. That's why you're here this morning. That's why God places it. That's why people are in church. It's because God works on their lives. Matthew 12:43-45 said, and when the unclean spirit comes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding one, none. Then he says, I will return to the house and the room from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept clean, and put in order. Then he goes in and takes it with him, seven more spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it be with the wicked generation. I want you to know something this morning. What's happened to our nation? What's happened to our nation? We were a nation under God, established by God. The Declaration of Independence was signed by, I think, 59 men. And 26 or 29 of them had to do with ministry. If you stop to think about that, our nation was established on God. It wasn't established on all this garbage that got out there now. It was established on the Word of God and by men of God. And hallelujah, we had that declaration for 240-some years now. And now we have the devil. And I'll be honest with you, the devil's coming in and trying to destroy this nation. He's been working at it for a long time, undermining it, the immorality, the killing of babies and gay marriage. I'm going to tell you, there's only two deals that God has set in order in the beginning in Genesis. And that was man and woman. And that's the way it is. Man and woman. There's not this gender and that gender and this gender and those and us. There's a he or a she. And that's the way it is. Now, you can take that and run with it if you want to. That's up to you. But I know. I know what God said in the beginning. And that he said is a man and a woman Praise God. That's what it is in my heart. I'm not going to go by all the political correctness they want to put out there. It's who is God. He is my Father in heaven. He is the one that has set this nation in order. He is over this nation. And I'm going to tell you, He will do what it takes. There's nothing too difficult for God. Nothing. Hallelujah. The restoration of Jerusalem. Nehemiah would oversee the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. We need a rebuilding of our walls in our nation. We need a reconstruction of our nation, our political, our politics. You know, we would encounter a great opposition. He would encounter a great opposition from three men, Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobiah, the Ammonite. These three came against him. Nehemiah completed the task. Why? Because God was going before him. God was going before him. He completed the task. Some people may be sitting in church today saying, crying and boo-hooing. Oh, my. Look what's happening. We're done for. The end's coming. Well, the end may be coming, but if you're not with Jesus, when He comes, you're not going to be going. We've been studying tribulation Wednesday night out here. But if you want to go through what he's been teaching, Terry's own been teaching, that's all right with me, but I'm not going through it. I'm not going to go through it. I'm going to hold on to Christ no matter what happens, no matter what comes against me. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? He's coming back. He's coming back for a church without a spot and a wrinkle. One has been cleansed and clean and ready to go up. He is coming back for a church that has not got a spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming back for a church that is walking with Jesus Christ, His Son. He's coming back a church that's full of the Holy Spirit and moving forward, even though there's bad times. He's coming back for that church. That's what Christ is coming back for. And that's what God is sending Him back for. Amen. The walls and the gates of Jerusalem were rebuilt in 52 days. They began setting up a governing system under the leadership of Ezra, the priest. There was reestablishment of the Word of God, and worship was restored to the house of God. How important that is for us today. How important that is to us today. I don't know about all of you, but I do know in my life, in the 50 years I've been serving the Lord, I do know this, that I go into the house of God, and the presence of God could be felt there. For the Bible tells me, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is a freedom. And when we come into the house of God, we need to feel that freedom. We need to feel free that we can worship God. And raise our hands. And if it's to shout, shout if you want to shout. But allow yourself to be able to worship God and feel free to do that. We need that liberty in the Spirit. And I'm telling you today that it has died in a lot of churches. You walk into them, the churches are dead. They are just dead. You know, you might as well stay at home and sit in front of the television and watch a football game. I don't watch the football games anymore anyhow. If they're going to kneel and not respect their flag, I don't watch them. I don't watch them. You know what? They're getting paid millions of dollars. I'm going down a rabbit trail. Let me get back over here. Don't get me on that. Don't get me on that. But anyhow, Nehemiah 13, 4 and 6, I've read that. I'm not going to read that again. But I'm going to go down here. When Nehemiah left, things changed. You see, when the presence of the God or the person that's there leaves, things change. When Nehemiah left, the priest, the high priest, took charge of the house of God, became allied with Tobiah, one of Nehemiah's enemies. You see, when the presence of God leaves, then the working of the devil starts. The devil starts to move on those that have not been faithful. And those that have not been faithful is what brings distraction, brings turmoil and brings problem. So what they did, and I believe what's happening in a lot of our churches today is people have gone away from the leadership that they had, got into other leadership, and that leadership is leadership that's allowing the world to come into the church. Well, we don't need to do that, and we don't need to honor this, and we don't need to have that. Let's do it this way. Man's way. Man's way will always fail. You're awful quiet out there. But man's way will always fail. That's right, it will. But God's way will always go forward. Always change things. You see, God, who's building the church? If you're building the church, it's going to fall flat in its face. If you're building the church, it's going to fall. But if God is building the church, it will grow and prosper. It will. It will grow and prosper. Because He'll bring in, take away, add to. God knows what's best for this church. He knows what's best for this country. He knows what's best for all of us. The thing is, we've got to come to the understanding that sometimes we have allowed things to enter into our house, and into our home, and into our lives that are a hindrance to God. How many know what an idol is? You know what an idol is? You know what an idol is to God? It's anything you put before God. Anything you put before God becomes an idol. And it hinders your relationship with God. Stop and think about that. Could be your house. Could be your car. Could be anything in your house that you put before God. And if you put that before God, it becomes an idol. Do you know that there's a lot of them out there that worship sports and athletes? They have become idols to them. They are idols to them because they worship them and they don't worship God. You're awful quiet. That scares me when people get quiet. Jeremiah was a type of Christ. When his presence was no longer in the temple, the priest or religion began to allow other things to occur. When we allow the presence of Christ to subside, we're going to be the loser. Not only in... See, God works in three different ways for cleansing. There's three different things that has to be cleansed. And that needs to start, first of all, with us as individuals. We need to search ourselves, search our homes. You know, a while back, many years ago, God dealt with me. What do they call them? The dream catchers. A lot of people have them hanging in their homes. Do you know they're prayed over after they make them things? And it's not a godly spirit. It's an evil spirit. The Kachina dolls. I read a big article. I had a Navajo young man came and did a revival for me one time. And he was sharing with me. You know why? He shared with me. He knew the knowledge of it because he was in line to be a medicine man in the tribe. See, medicine men are down by from generation to generation. And he was in line. He got totally cast out of his family, out of the tribe, and all that because he became a Christian. Became an evangelist. Came down preaching. He shared a lot with me about all of this stuff. And I said, well, I didn't understand that. He said, oh, yeah. He said, when you bring them into your house, you're bringing the devil right into your house. I thought, man. So what I'm saying today is first, We've got to clean up this vessel here. We've got to cast out the world out of this vessel. And we do that by reading the Word and praying and seeking God. And I believe in these days, I'm challenging you as a church and as individuals. Need to get your life right with God. Now's the time. If you're not walking on the narrow path, then you better get on the narrow path. Quit going down to the side path. Because I'm telling you, the times are going to get difficult. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to seek it. Some of you may say, well, I sought it and sought it and sought it and never got it and never came upon and I couldn't get it. Well, keep seeking. Keep seeking. Keep praying. Because you never know when God's going to do it, baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And just because you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit don't mean something's wrong with your relationship. Don't mean that. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with your relationship. Are you hearing me? There's some people that take years before, and it just boom, it happens like that. Some people go to the altar and boom, get filled with the Holy Spirit like that. Some people do it in their bedroom. Some driving down the road in a car. And just when the time and you are where you should be in your spirit with God, God's going to baptize you. You may be driving down your car and start speaking in some language that you never even heard before and go, oh, what's going on here? Scare you to death. But let me tell you, God will get you and He will baptize you if you will be seeking Him and trying to get your life right with God. That's the first step in getting the church back to where the church needs to be. And that is getting us together as individuals, getting our lives right with God. Even me, I've got to search my heart. And they're cleansing my house. I got to go through my house and say, is this thing contrary to the Word of God that I got in here? You know, how many of you know we collect things? We're collectors, whether we want to be collectors or not. You know, amen. Come on now. Come on, how many of you can go through your cabinets and cupboards and garage and all that and find stuff you've got out there, you go through, it's like a new deal. Look, I didn't know I had this. Gee, isn't this great? I forgot all about this. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? We're collectors. And some of the stuff we collect, we don't even need. Are you understanding? In other words, we've got to clean up this house, this temple, because we are the temple of God. We've got to get the temple clean. Then we've got to go get the house clean. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit that's in us guide us to cleanse our house. Then when we get the house clean, then we come to church. Hallelujah. And we don't bring in the things of the world. We bring in the things of God in our lives. And then we come into the church and house and we come to worship Him. We give Him praise and glory and honor. We're not afraid to stand up. We're not afraid to raise our hands. We're not afraid to surrender. Oh, they're going to think I'm foolish. I don't care how foolish they think I am. I'm going to praise God. And if God gets me dancing down the aisle, look out. There's a lot of me to dance. But praise God. You know what I'm telling you? Allow the Holy Spirit, once you get your act in gear and we get into the church, you get your house planned. You see, if you've got these things in your home and you're going in there all the time and you don't get them out, you're always going into the presence of the devil. And you wonder why there's confusion and disruption and things going on in your house. It's because you've got things in your house that should not be there. And you got things in your life that should not be there. And you want God to move by the Spirit in your life. But God can't move in a vessel that's not ready to be moved in. He needs a cleansing vessel. A vessel that is clean. Hallelujah. And He needs a church that's clean. Without spot and wrinkle. That's what He's coming back for. Hallelujah. If Jesus came back today, my desire is that I'll be able to see all of you up there. Every one of you, we need to get our lives in gear with God. We need to get our house in gear with God. We need to get the church to where we can come in and worship and feel liberty to be able to praise Him and worship Him. Amen. And come in here and say, I'm coming in to the presence of God. I'm coming into His presence. When we walk through that door, we shouldn't have anything else on our mind. Not the world, not anything. Our problems. You say, but if we've got problems, that's right. When you come through that door, leave your problems out there and let God handle them. Does that make sense to you this morning? We need to come into the presence of God. Right now, today, I can look over this congregation. I don't know your problems, but I know every one of you got a problem. I know every one of you got something going wrong, something happening in your life that's giving you a battle and is struggling with it. Do you know who can take care of that? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Do you know the Holy Spirit's here today? How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me where two or more are gathered in His name, He is present. How's He present? He's present in the Spirit. He's here right now. He can handle any problem you got. There's nothing too great for God. There's nothing too great for the Holy Spirit. We are living in critical times, a time of confusion and despair, a time of indecision. The world we live in now feels anything goes. It feels it right to you. If I could read it, I'd be doing good. He feels right to you how wrong we can be when we allow the stuff of Tobiah to enter our lives, our home, our churches. It's time for us to throw out the stuff which so easily hinders our walk with God. We first receive it into our lives when we carry it into our homes and into our church. We no longer hear the words of sanctification or holiness mentioned. Have you ever conformed to the world? Have we lost the value of God's Word because we have lost the authority and the strength of the Word, which is a living Word, Jesus? If we lose Jesus, we lose it all. And Tobiah will come in and dwell in our lives. Look around, church. Ask the questions. Why does 50 churches a day close their doors? Boy, that's sad. The truth, Jesus gave me the truth. Allow me to see myself as you see me. Does a father see evil? Has our minds been seared with attitudes of the world? Do we act and speak like the world? Are we just playing church? Are we just a religious group living out the play that Satan has written for this world? Or are we spiritual body of Lord Jesus Christ, working, praying, reading the Word, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-chasing, staff cleansing, demon stomping, God loving, Holy Ghost filled, sanctified, Holy Spirit, saints on our way to eternity in the power of God? Get rid of Tobiah stuff. Get rid of this world in your lives. Get rid of the world. Allow your lives to be yielded to Christ. And some of you are in situations. How many, you don't have to voice your situation, but how many are going through things or difficulties right now? Some things in your life that you're struggling with. You know, when I look over this congregation, I say, God is able to take care of your problem. Amen. There is nothing impossible for God. I've been talking about changing your life. You said, well, I'm a Christian, but is there something in there hindering you? Amen. You need to ask yourself that question this morning. Do I need to do some house cleaning, take the broom and clean house? My house, my body, my spirit. Do I need to clean that up? Have I let the things of this world drag me down and cause me to walk away from the walk with Christ. That's easy done. It's easy done. So where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? I want you to search your hearts. Because things are getting very serious in our country. And I don't know what's down around the corner. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, or the next day, or next week. But things aren't looking good, are they? But I know one thing. With Christ in our lives, it's going to look good. Because He's going to lead and guide us. He's going to direct us. He's going to take us down the path that He wants us to go. Not only as individuals, but as a church. I've had to have, a while back, I had to tell a family member that was a nephew that unless he changed his life, I didn't want him coming into my house. We prayed with him. We talked with him. There comes a time. I don't want him to come in. He was drinking, smoking, doing everything out there. I don't want that in my house. The Bible says not to do anything that defiles the temple. Don't do anything that defiles this temple. In other words, don't take anything in that defiles this temple. Well, I'm going to say something. I want to share it. You think, well, you don't know how hard it is. I was smoking 3.5 packs of cigarettes a day. Chewing tobacco along with it. I have to wash the side of my truck down dawn every day because I'd spit out the window. See how far the devil can take us? And I'm going to tell you, I got saved. I threw a whole carton of Lucky Strikes, brand new carton, into the hot burning barrel and burned them. Never smoked another cigarette. I'm telling you, when God cleans you up, He cleans you up. It's not halfway. He does a job. And see, I'm sharing some things with you that a lot of people think, I cuss like a stormtrooper. You think these kids are bad today to cuss, you ought to heard me. I worked in the mines. That's what we did. Smoke, drank, cuss. When I got saved, man, God did a work on me. I kept praying, God, am I really saved? Am I really saved? And one day, my partner and him all was telling dirty jokes and all of that. We were sitting around the lunchroom, and I got up and walked out. He said, there he goes. Religious man. I walked out. I walked out, and I said, thank you, Lord, for showing me. I've changed. I don't need to stay around that stuff. I don't need to be in pornography and alcohol and drugs and all that. I can get excited with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you've ever got drunk in the Spirit. But I'm telling you, when you get drunk in the Spirit, you are drunk in the Spirit. I can remember one time I was down behind the pulpit. Spirit of God was moving. And I was on my knees and laying on the floor behind the pulpit. And every time I'd get up, I'd fall one way or the other way. I couldn't get up. I couldn't get up. I was so drunk in the Spirit, I couldn't get up. The Spirit of God. Oh, if you've never been there, you're missing something. You're missing something. Move forward. Move forward. Clean your act up. And move forward. Move forward. Let God bless you and baptize you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God can do things for you that you would think would be impossible. He helped us to buy a home, got a car given to us. I mean, I serve a great God. And no matter what the world out there and what our nation and what our country is going through, He's still a great God and can supply your needs. Those of you that have a need this morning, you need healing in your body. You need healing in your body. You say, well, look at you. Look what's going on with you. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Healing hasn't manifested itself yet, but I'm still believing. Are you hearing me? You need healing in your body? I'm going to have the elders come up if you need healing and anoint you and pray for you. You know why I have you come up? It's a step of faith. When you step out to come and be anointed for, you're believing God's going to touch you. You're believing in the Word that He's going to heal you. You're believing in the Word that He's going to take care of your difficulty. You're believing in the Word that He's going to take care of you financially. Whatever you're seeking, when you come and get anointed for, God, you're believing. You step out by faith. I had an elderly man who was a truck driver, couldn't drive no more because he couldn't move his head. His neck was stiff. And the Lord stopped me right in the middle of the sermon. Right in the middle of the sermon. And said, give an altar call. So I did. I gave the altar call. He stepped out and started walking down the aisle. He didn't even come up and get anointed or prayed for. He stopped partway down the aisle. And he started turning his head one way or the other. He said, I'm healed. I'm healed. His faith, when he stepped out, his faith, he got healed because of his faith. He heard the word about healing, and he stepped out and he believed it, and he stepped out and God healed him. You see, God can heal you just like that. God can change your finances just like that. I know a young man was praying for a raise, so he went in and checked, and the boss said, no, I'm sorry, we can't give you the raise. Next day, they laid him off. He said, Lord, I've been praying for a raise. He went down to get draw unemployment. And when he filed the paperwork, the gal there said, wait a minute, I think we got somebody that you can go to work for. So he went and did an interview, got hired. Guess what? He got his raise. Not only did he get his raise, he got better benefits. God can move. George, God can move.
Hallelujah.
If you allow Him. See, God wants to meet your need. He wants to meet your need. He wants to help you. You kids, God wants to help you. He wants to be with you. He wants to lead and guide you. He does. He don't care how old you are. He wants to be in your life. Those of you that have a need, if you don't want to come up to be prayed for, you just raise your hands. If you got a need this morning, Father, I come to you in the mighty name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've seen these hands. You know who they are. And you know what their need is here today. Whatever that need is, I ask you, Father, and I release your Holy Spirit into their lives. to do what has to be done, to answer that need. I pray, O God, that you'll move upon it. You'll block anything from old Slewfoot coming against it. You release it, you lift them up, and they will come back to say that that need has been met. It's been met. Because Jesus will meet that need. I believe that right now in Jesus' name. He'll touch each one of you. He'll move in your lives. And he'll supply your need. In Jesus' precious mighty name, I ask it.